Ribbit, 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 ribbit.
It'll be stupid and be a skeptic.
Inconceivable, unbelievable.
Unidentified flying objects.
I want to believe.
Welcome to Season 7, Episode 5 of the I Want to Believe podcast. I'm Nomar Slevic. In Loveland, Ohio, reports of a 4-foot-tall frog roaming the marshes on its hind legs have fascinated locals and people from away for decades. It's a narrative that dates back to the 1950s, when a businessman claimed to have seen multiple bipedal frogs along the Little Miami River. But is it merely anecdotal, or is it possible that such a creature exists? Tonight, with special co-host Christina,
hi everyone,
we'll be sharing the varied encounters of the Loveland Frogman. Before we jump into the episode, I wanted to announce that I have a new book out. UFOs Over Maine 10th Anniversary Edition. This is the most comprehensive book on the UFO phenomena in the state of Maine, written by a Mainer. There are over 400 pages and almost 200 stories. It is available at my online store. Also, you can get it at the Green Hand Bookshop in Portland, Maine. You can also get it at H&H Mercantile in Searsport, Maine. And of course, you can get it online at Amazon, Kindle, and Apple Books. If you get it through me, or the Green Hand, or H&H Mercantile, you'll get an autographed book, a sticker, and a bookmark. Get your hands on the definitive work on extraterrestrials in the state of Maine by visiting the links in the show notes or see my various social media platforms. Lastly, I'd like to let everyone know that I'm going to be at H&H Mercantile in Searsport on Sunday, May 26. It'll be from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. I'll be selling and signing books and sharing some spooky stories. Come on out and get your very own copy of UFOs Over Maine. All right, enough of all that. Let's learn as much as we can about the Frogman of Loveland, Ohio.
Since its introduction in 1955 by the multi-talented Jim Henson, the Muppet character Kermit the Frog has been a beloved character on television, stage, and in film. Kermit is now well known all over the world, but did you know that in the very same year that he was introduced to us, a more interesting and freaky frog tale unfolded in the once busy railroad town of Loveland in Ohio. Only this wasn't a small bright green puppet, no. This was a giant humanoid frog, touted as an authentic cryptid by those who encountered it.
Quotes and information gathered for this episode come from WLWT News 5, Week in Weird, North American Cryptids, Snopes, and The Portalist.
According to LovelandOH.gov, the city is known as the Sweetheart of Ohio. Loveland is located within Hamilton, Claremont, and Warren counties in the southwestern part of Ohio. It is near I-275 and is also accessible via Route 48. Loveland is 5.2 square miles in size and is just about 15 miles northeast of Cincinnati.
In the 1700s, Loveland was an unincorporated area with picturesque valleys, rich soil, and a scenic river. An indigenous tribe called the Miami occupied the land and often utilized the river. After it was settled in 1795 by a Colonel Thomas Paxton, settlers named the river Little Miami after the tribe. A little over 50 years later, in 1848, William Ramsey, a son-in-law of Colonel Paxton, signed a contract to buy 189 acres of land in the Warren and Claremont counties. Ramsey's land was eventually named Loveland, after James Loveland, a beloved man who operated the area's first general store and post office. On May 16, 1876, Loveland was incorporated as a village with a population of less than 800 residents. After a population spike in the 1950s, Loveland became a city with an adopted charter in 1961.
The legend of the Loveland Frogman began before that new charter in the early summer of 1955. According to Weak and Weird writer Quinn the Eskimo, quote, "The exact date is a matter of speculation, but most reports place it sometime in May. Like any good legend involving monsters, this account is typically told in three similar but slightly different versions," end quote. The first version involves an anonymous businessman who observed three creatures gathered by the side of the road. He described them as 3 to 4 feet tall, covered with a leathery skin. They each stood on two legs and had the faces of frogs. Further questioning revealed that they had webbed hands and feet. They appeared hairless, and they all had deep wrinkles on their heads and faces.
That last part reminds me of the Khufu aliens.
All right, let's get into the fanged humanoids of Khufu.
The boys said it had long, pointy ears and described the color of its skin as black or dark brown. They also noticed that its skin was so severely wrinkled that it was impossible to see any features of its face.
In different versions of the story, the businessman describes a similar appearance, but the creatures were either sitting on a bridge or they were gathered underneath it. Since the first account doesn't give an exact location or road, it is difficult to confirm which specific bridge the reports are meant to describe. Quinn wrote, quote, "The tale is further complicated by local information that puts the man entering or exiting Branch Hill, a community bordering the south end of Loveland. It is worth noting that most of the side roads leading to and from Loveland, specifically the bridge areas, are not well lit," end quote.
Also noted by the witness, one of the creatures held something peculiar in their hands. Quinn continued, quote, "One creature is claimed to have held a cylindrical metal object, sometimes described as a wand. It is stated that the creature held this object over its head and that the object emitted flashes, sparks, or other pulses of light. Upon seeing this object activated, it is claimed that the businessman fled, fearing for his safety," end quote. There was another encounter reported that same year, some 240 miles away, in the town of Evansville, Indiana.
In August 21, 1955, a Mrs. Darwin Johnson claimed to have been attacked by some sort of creature while swimming in the Ohio River. She said it had grabbed her from under the water with some type of strange feeling hand and latched onto her knee. According to the Weak and Weird, quote, "This occurred in 15 feet of water while a friend, Mrs. Chris Lamble, was present. The attack dragged Mrs. Johnson beneath the waves twice. After kicking free of the creature, she was able to swim to the shore with the aid of Mrs. Lamble. Mrs. Johnson bore several contusions on her leg, including an alleged green palm print that seemed to stain the skin for several days," end quote. While this may not seem related to the Loveland Frogman, given the distance, it should be noted that the Little Miami River drains into the Ohio River.
For 17 years, there was silence about the stories of these alleged humanoid frogs. The people of Loveland, at least those who believed in the story, thought that the frogman had probably disappeared or retreated and shied away from getting any more exposure. Their silence was broken when three succeeding accounts of their sightings were recorded in 1972.
Some have speculated that the frogman, or multiple frogmen, called the rivers their home and were responsible for both the businessman's sighting and Mrs. Johnson's attack.
On March 3, 1972, at 1 a.m., police officer Ray Shockey traveled down Riverside Drive on their way to Loveland. Icy roads were predicted, and Shockey drove slower than normal with freezing drizzle falling from the skies. As he entered Loveland, he saw an unusual animal on the side of the road. Quinn wrote of the incident, quote, "The creature scurried across the road, and the officer slammed on his brakes to keep from hitting it. Once stopped, the officer had the creature fully illuminated in his headlights. He described the creature as crouching like a frog. Then the creature went to stand erect, bipedal, and stared directly at the officer. Finally, it turned and climbed over the guardrail and walked down into the Little Miami River," end quote. Similar to the 1955 creatures, this one was described as being 3 to 4 feet tall, it had leathery skin, and it resembled a frog. Further investigation by other officers found that the guardrail had distinct abrasions exactly where it was reported that the animal had crawled over.
A couple of weeks later, on St. Patrick's Day, another police officer, Mark Matthews, claimed to have encountered the frogman. Quote, "In a similar fashion, he saw something crouched along the ice-slickened road. He intended to remove what he thought was an injured or dead animal and exited his cruiser. The creature lurched up at Matthews, who discharged his weapon. He then observed it hobbling towards the guardrail, climbed over it, and out of sight," end quote. Matthews' description matched that of Officer Shockey's, only this one had a tail. As time went on, Matthews changed his story and said he had merely seen a large iguana and had gotten out of his cruiser to, quote, "capture it so he could help support his fellow officer's story, since Officer Shockey's report wasn't being taken too seriously by others in the department," end quote. Hey, Nomar Slevic here, interrupting my own podcast again to tell you and remind you about my brand new book, UFOs Over Maine 10th Anniversary Edition. Over 400 pages and almost 200 stories of extraterrestrial encounters from Mainers written by a Mainer. You can find a link in the show notes or check out any of my social media platforms. Also, I wanted to let everybody know that my documentary, Otherworldly and More, is available at Opera House Video in Belfast, Maine. If you happen to find yourself in the area, stop on in, say hi to Dennis, and rent my documentary. Thanks so much. Back to the podcast. Years later, in 2001, via email, Matthews said the incident had been blown out of proportion. Quote,
"There's absolutely nothing to the incident that relates to monsters or the paranormal. This entire thing has been habitually blown out of proportion. It was and is no monster. It was not leathery or had wet matted fur. It was not 3 to 5 feet tall. It did not stand erect. The animal I saw was obviously some type of lizard that someone had as a pet that either got too large for its aquarium, escaped by accident, or they simply got tired of it. It was less than 3 feet in length, ran across the road, and was probably blinded by my headlights. It presented no aggressive action.
A curious addendum to all of these sightings is that Mrs. Johnson's 1955 encounter comes around again as having occurred in the 1970s, and with further details. Quote, 35-year-old Naomi Johnson and her 13-year-old son Darwin.
Sorry to interrupt here, but notice how Darwin is her son's name in this story, as opposed to him being her husband in the 1955 story.
Yeah, definitely notice that. So we have Naomi, her son Darwin, and quote, two other women whom all went swimming in the Ohio River at Evansville, Indiana, possibly in a place called Dogtown, which is actually along the Wabash River, another tributary of the Ohio. Naomi recounts that she was drifting about 15 feet away from shore when something grabbed and pulled her under. She said she felt large claws with a furry palm grabbing her knee, and that she fought and kicked against her attack. When the grip loosened, she made it back to the beach and treated her scratched and bruised leg. She was left with a blue or green stain, possibly in the shape of a hand, that stayed on her leg for weeks after the attack. End quote.
The alleged fourth sighting happened later that March and was reported by an anonymous farmer. He was inspecting his fields located adjacent to the Little Miami River when he saw four bizarre creatures, presumably the Loveland Frogmen. He recounted that these creatures had large circular eyes with pale greenish-gray skin and wide mouths filled with sharp teeth. It was a brief encounter as the strange figures ran and disappeared into the river when they spotted the farmer staring at them.
Over 40 years after the 1970s encounters, a couple stumbled across the Frogman in 2016.
WLWT News 5 reported that a man named Sam Jacobs was playing Pokemon Go with his girlfriend in mid-August of 2016 near the Congregation Beth Adam Synagogue on Loveland Madeira Road. They had just crossed the train tracks to Lake Isabella when they spotted something strange. He told News 5, quote, "We saw a huge frog near the water. Not in the game, this was an actual giant frog. I took a couple of pictures and a video because I'd never seen one that big. Then the thing stood up and walked on its hind legs. I realize this sounds crazy, but I swear on my grandmother's grave, this is the truth." End quote. Jacob said that the creature stood around 4 feet tall and snapped some pictures and took a video of it. I'll put a link to a picture and to the video in the show notes, and we'll also post them to our social media that promotes this episode. Jacobs further stated, quote, "Not sure if it was a frogman or just a giant frog. Either way, I've never seen anything like it." End quote.
James Renner, in his book, It Came From Ohio, True Tales of the Weird, Wild, and Unexplained, discusses pre-1955 frogman encounters. He wrote, quote, "Turns out the legend is older than anyone suspected. Much older. Even Shockey didn't know about the first recorded sightings of the Loveland Frogman, which occurred before the town was even constructed."
The exact dates are kind of sketchy, but sometime around 1696, a group of French missionaries befriended a tribe who lived along the wide, muddy rivers in what is now southwestern Ohio. This tribe was believed to be part of the Miami culture, but were known as the Twightwee by the Delaware people. The Twightwees warned the Frenchmen about the river demon that lived in the Little Miami. They called it the Shawnahook.
The Shawnahook was a human-like creature with no nose and wrinkled skin. A Twightwee hunting party had once spotted it while returning to their village. One warrior shot an arrow at it, but the creature only jumped back into the river and disappeared. End quote.
Are there any more recent encounters? We did find some. One involves a married couple who bought a home located along the Little Miami River. Soon after, they started to experience an unknown being on their property. One of them emailed the Phantoms and Monsters website, and Lon Strickler shared the following email.
Quote, "We bought a little house by the Loveland Castle Museum back in 2000. It was perched above a ravine and creek, and the back of the house dropped off very steeply. There would have been enough room for a man or a bipedal person to stand behind the house, but the basement windows were eye level, and the first floor was quite far up from a place where one could stand. The reason I point this out is that because it was a very small house, we had to use the basement for our two boys' bedroom. They kept complaining that something kept looking in the window at them, and my husband and I laughed it off at first. It was a wooded setting, very rural and beautiful, and very dark at night. So it seemed funny that they were thinking something was watching them. We just told them it was maybe a deer and went about our business.
One night, however, I woke up hearing a weird sound just outside our bedroom window on the first floor. I was puzzled as to what it could be. It sounded like a man breathing heavily. I started to sit up and realized whatever it was looking in my window. It was just inches from my head, and I was terrified. I didn't want to look, but I kept feeling an urge to. I woke my husband, and he said whatever it was had to be 10 feet tall to look in our window. I couldn't sleep that night, but whatever had been there had moved on. I didn't mention it to the kids the next day. The boys came up from the basement, shaking from seeing, quote, red glowing eyes from the night before. They heard the heavy breathing as well.
This was the only one experience we had out there in Loveland. It's right down by the Little Miami River, only a stone's throw away. Many weird things are out there. Green glows, orbs, and something very large and black stood on the top of our roof very late at night. It looked like a huge dark figure," end quote.
Another story from 2013, also reported by the Phantoms and Monsters website, quote, "It was December of 2013, approximately 10 p.m. at night, and it was one of the first snows on a fairly cold, almost freezing night. I had moved into a cabin with my friend that sat along the Little Miami. I saw two red glowing eyes and heard a screeching sound. Then the eyes looked directly at me. I thought to myself, no way is it looking at me. But it was. It was a black, dark mass. I spoke in a whisper and dared it to come at me. I was completely taken aback and petrified when one of its eyes lifted up really high. A moment later, the other eye joined it. This black, massive object seemed to be very curious about me and started heading my way. It started a vertical path about 300 yards away. It got louder. It was big and thumped in the rough and got quicker and quicker. I challenged whatever this creature was and stood my ground until it was literally only a few dozen yards away. I then turned and ran for my life. I ran inside and bolted upstairs, charging into my friend's room where they were all playing video games. No one believed me." End quote.
These days, the community of Loveland, Ohio are not hiding from their notoriety. They have lovingly embraced the Frogman as their own. There are 5K races called the Frogman, and dozens of pictorial representations throughout the city. Quote, "Local canoe outfitters often enchant children with tales of creatures lurking on the riverbanks," end quote. 2023 saw the first annual Frogman Festival, and just a couple months ago, the second year's festival was held in March at the Oasis Conference Center in Loveland.
So this is about the time in the podcast where I ask, do you believe in the Loveland Frogman? We hope you've enjoyed the different accounts of the creature we've shared on this episode, and perhaps someday you'll have one of your own. If so, be sure to send us a message and let us know. That's all we've got for this fifth episode of Season 7 of the I Want to Believe podcast. Don't forget to grab a copy of UFOs Over Maine at my online store, slivikstore.company.site, or the Green Hand Bookshop in Portland, or H&H Mercantile in Searsport, Maine. Links are in the show notes. And feel free to follow us on Instagram at 207Believe, at Nomar Slevik, and at Kiwis Cryptids. Talk to you next month. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Nomar Slevik.
And I'm Christina.
Does the swallow dream of flying as it sleeps on the wing? Does it long for the summer as it flies home for spring? Does Daisy feel a sadness with the last rays of sun? Does the wind feel a gladness at the work that it's done? I won't go making mountains out of molehills anymore. I won't go chasing windmills round in circles anymore. I won't go preaching sermons to the choir. What's it for? I won't go through the motions anymore. Does the river ever wonder what will come round the bend as it twists and meanders down its slow descent? I looked out over London with my last cup of tea. My gaze was returned by gray clouds.